أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Among the things which will invalidate the fast is to vomit intentionally and purposely. So much so that if a person knows that if he has a particular food or diet in the night, and that diet is bound to cause him vomit next day, he is absolutely sure about the type of diet which causes him to vomit second day, the following day, and he still eats that food which causes him to vomit, then even then his fast will be batil. But involuntary, of course, where you can't control and you vomit, it does not affect your fast. Now, even if you are told by a doctor that in this particular case you need to vomit, and if some by some medical ways they cause vomit, even then that will be called purpose vomiting, and fast will be batil. The most important thing for all of you, especially those who are married and those who are baligh, is to know that purposely when somebody becomes in the state of janabat, either he does it by sexual intercourse or by masturbation, may Allah save this community from this curse. During the fast is immediately batil. Now, ihtilam is a word which is used and which was understood by all of us, but since here in England, even Urdu itself is a problem, so ihtilam is a furthermore problem. Ihtilam means when the semen or ejaculation takes place during sleep without control. A man sleeps and money comes out, semen comes out, he ejaculates. For every baligh it happens. And being matter of sharia, there is no shame discussing this, for it is a natural phenomenon. That does not make your fast batil, even if it happens during the daytime. A boy or a person slept and he became muhtalim, that means ejaculation took place, his fast is not batil. I'm talking of personally, physically, purposefully doing something which causes ejaculation, then of course that is. Now when a person knows that particular type of acts that if he does he will ejaculate, then he should refrain from such acts so that ejaculation does not take place. The third thing after this comes remaining in the state of janabat and hayd up to subh sadiq. This is very important because surprisingly some mu'mineen still do not know about this. And they say, I did ghusl in the morning after subh sadiq. If it becomes wajib, janabat, either by sexual intercourse or by sleeping and ejaculating, whatever be the cause, we must take ghusl or do ghusl before subh sadiq. Not before sunrise, before the time of namaz-e-subh. So these days, if the time of namaz-e-subh is, say, let us say 6:45 or 6:47, one has got to do ghusl before that. That means one cannot start and commence fast in the state of janaba. This is Ramadan. And if there is a lady who has become paak from hayd, In the night of Ramadan, it is wajib for her to do ghusl hayd before Fajr. Now, these are the things which are important, that we must see that we cannot start a fast in the state of janab. You must do ghusl, and namaz and fast will start with taharat, with no janab. Now, under these, there are so many other masail, which we will discuss later. But this is the principle that we must keep in mind. We cannot start a fast in the state of janab. We discussed yesterday a few things, and I would like to end this up tonight, for tomorrow is the night of wafat of Janab Khadijatul Kubra, salamullah alayha. The mother of Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha. So tonight, tomorrow, although there is, as it has been declared by the, announced by the Jamaat, that there is a seminar, inshallah we will combine both, and we cannot forget that lady whose ihsan is what has brought us to this state. Had it not been for her, the Prophet himself would have found it extremely difficult to continue with the propagation of Islam. So in other words, Khadija was a sabab, was the cause of this spreading of Islam, ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't have to worry, we will combine both, and we will remember her tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. Thereafter, because of my old age now, I will be taking rest for 3 days, and we'll commence again to address you from Thursday. This leave was given to me by Mukhi from the very beginning, and I will make the maximum of it. But I will, inshallah, attend, if you all pray for my health. The only solution of to what we were discussing last night, where I ended, is also to be considered by all of you, young and old, men and women, and by rich people of this community. It is our duty to convey. More than that we cannot do. Allah in Quran says, وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. The messenger comes and only conveys. The rest is for the people themselves to do. If for our young men who are coming up, and they must go for higher education and must come to into contact with the wider circle in a society, in order to understand their culture and our culture, compare the values, living in a country where there are so many other religions and so many other cultures, to have a rapport, as they call it. If it is considered absolutely necessary, then there are only 2 ways in which we can save our young men and our young women. One is to take keen interest in their development, to guide them as they go. Not to forget them, to say that now that they have gone into university, madrasa syllabus is over, therefore we've got nothing to do. And for that, there is a need of keen interest to be taken by the leaders of the community into the making of the mind of the young man, so that he does not forget, or she does not forget, the Islamic values. How to do that is a question to be considered. Certain classes are needed, and certain good teachers are needed to teach them. It is something which calls for serious attention. And this crowd, mashallah, that is tonight, is constituted of young people here and there, I can see. And the elders are there, and the leaders are there, and those who are blessed with money, they are also here, I can see their faces. What is to be done? There has got to be an institution which will teach them, boys and girls, Islam at that level, which is higher than what they learned in the madrasa. Because when a young man or a woman enters the campus, university, for the first time he finds that there is a world of intellect and intelligence where things are discussed intellectually and dispassionately, and he looks back at the madrasa on Sundays, finds that those things were doctrinal and dogmatic. There are two things, my friends. To be dogmatic is something else, and to be intellectual is something else. When I tell my son, you have to pray 5 times a day because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that is dogmatic. But when he bows down understanding that I have a creator before whom I bow down to pay my gratitude, then that is intellectual. And the meaning of the values of Islam, which were then inculcated as doctrine, have got to be now discussed as a subject of intelligence and intellect. Because over the last 14 centuries, our belief and our creed has been a subject of discussion. We don't know this. You see, our own philosophers discussed our own creed. Averroes, Ibn Rushd, Ibn Alisina, Avicenna, Farabi. These are the people who discussed our own creed, and they went against Quran at times. This is the reason why Ghazali came in and he wrote Tahafatul Falasafa, to demolish the arguments of the philosophers. Even in that, Ghazali himself made so many mistakes, because he wanted to wipe out everything, good and bad. You can't do that. There are things that are good, you have to adopt. There are things that are sound, you have got to keep. But there was a tussle. And when the Western philosophers came across this discussion, they made the best of it. And therefore you find, in the discussion of the West, the same arguments against Quran and Hadith being brought today under intellectual discussions. Now, Tawheed is challenged. Adil is challenged, Nubuwwah is challenged, Imamah is challenged, Qiyamah is challenged. Now a man, a boy or a girl who is in that environment, if he finds that the creed is challenged, then A'mal come next. If there is no creed, A'mal has no meaning whatsoever. A'mal, Furu'ad-Deen, is based on Usul. That is why Usul-ad-Deen comes first. When the Usul is challenged, Furu' goes. Whatever furu he does is just to do cursorily and just get rid of it. Because society is watching him, his father is watching him, people are watching him, and he wants to prove to the world that I am a religious person, while he is not. Now, what sort of generation is going to come up? The ulama, the wealthy people, the leaders of the community, the well-meaning members of the community have got to either start this institution, or alternatively they have to start their own school, where in our own environment we can teach secular together with the religious education and bring them to a state whereby, where they are equipped secularly, they are also equipped religiously and the values are not corrupted. There is no alternative except these two. And when we don't do this, we fail in our duties, and we then just go on crying with no solution whatsoever. The money that is spent for such institutions, either by controlling the intellect here by our own institution while they go to public schools and colleges, or by establishing our own schools, the money that goes here today in this day and age is far better than any other charity you can think of. If it means curtailing other charities, we may either do it. We may do it by all means, but we promote this so that inshallah ta'ala we create those people who understand of it. Because the challenge that we are facing today, we have never faced before. Our elders are sitting here, they will tell you, when we used to ask questions, they would say, Bore mane sevo. Bore mane sevo means, you know what, man boru rakho, etle bora thao. And bore mane sevo means to accept it without argument. Today, this bore mane sevo chale? We know of cases where our parents have told me, that Mulla Sahab, our boys, when they come to an Urdu majlis in Muharram, when we go back 40 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles from Mambarga, we have to explain the child as to why the old man was crying from the mimbar, and why were you all crying? Muharram. You see, when we have to read the whole majlis again, and that also if the father is lucky to remember, otherwise he will tell him, go to Mullah himself. So having seen this, this sabr that I was discussing yesterday, عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ وَعَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, is not something that is to be discussed and left open. It has got to be solved. And if you are not aware, may I tell you something which is shocking, that all other sects of Islam, whether we agree with them or don't, they have already started the work on these lines. The Ismailis have started teaching Islam according to Ismaili to their own level, at intellectual level, having their own teachers and professors to teach their own boys so that they are guarded in their values of Ismailism. And the Hindu Vishwa Parishad has begun in England to guard the Hindu mythology under the Hindu values. The Sunnis are working 10 times more than we are working, 10 times more. The amount of literature they have, amazing. Today 120 titles new come out every year, out of which hardly one is Shiite, all is Sunni. And the discussion at that level for young men and women. When our Prophet said, and we people don't understand, when he said, there will come a time when zulm will be there rampant, people will go against religion, people will speak against religious people. Instead of understanding what he wanted to say, what we started arguing is that, well, he said it, so we must do it, otherwise Imam will not come. Because the Prophet said, before Imam comes, all these things must happen. You see, so we must start doing it so that Imam comes sooner. You see, this is lack of education. Because we don't know what sociology is. In society, no evil can penetrate unless, take my word, each word is important. In any society, no evil can penetrate unless there is enough good power to confront it. I mean, if there is no mazloom, who is zalim then? As mazloom becomes stronger, zulm becomes stronger. When there is Hussein as mazloom, then there is Yazid. So when the Prophet said the time will come when there will be zulm rampant, there will be injustice, iniquity, he meant that opposed to that there will be a rock of Islam, which will try to emerge and resurge, and these people will confront it. Let us be from this side and not from that side. We should be the one who should be the victims. Stand up and see what happens to you. The third one which I will finish tonight is, of course, Indal Musiba. Indal Musiba, my friends, there are two types of Musiba. One is self-earned Musiba, self-earned. Well, Allah has warned us not to do this, not to do that, not to do this, and we did it. Musiba comes. وَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَاتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah gives you a parable of a country or a town or a village where he used to send his subsistence in plenty, rizqan ragadan, in kulli makan, from all aspects, all places. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They started becoming ungrateful. In history we find people who used to wash the najasat with milk, abundant milk. We find places who used to, people who used to wash their najasat with bread. Yeah. We find people in very recent history, without naming the place, when money became abundant, they used to take a note, currency note, put tobacco in smoke. Ghurur. Thinking that we are now irretrievable and nothing can happen to us. When gurur goes to that part, when namaz is not there, Ramadan comes and goes. We are busy. Mullah sahab, if you want money, come and take it for Ramadan relief. But we are very busy. We've got no time for dua iftitah, no time for darsa, no time for mawiza, no time. Ramadan, for which the Prophet said, whoever enters Ramadan and comes out without being forgiven, he has no chance of being forgiven for the whole year. If Ramadan enters, that's why we say, أَعُوذُ بِوَجْهِكَ الْكَرِيمِ أَنْ يَنْقَضِ عَنِّي شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ أَوْ يَطْلُعَ الْفَجْرُ مِنْ لَيْلَتِي هَذِهِ وَلَكَ قِبَلِي طَبِعَةٌ أَوْ ذَنْبٌ تُعَذِّبُنِي عَلَيْهِ. I seek refuge from you that this month may not pass and this night may not lapse before you have forgiven me. And just don't care because there is money. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ. Then comes Azab Ilahi. When that Azab comes, which is earned by ourselves, then it goes on and on and on for some time till a man has been totally purified and he has remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is, of course, by test. Remember, Allah tests us. And Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam said, the more he loves you, Allah, when you have reached the stage where you are obedient servant of Allah, Allah loves you, Allah loves every one of us. But when we become so obedient, then he tests. Is this love in Gujarati, when a man is very rich, he says, Mara par Bhagwan na char haath se. Whether he has got two hands or four is a matter of debate, you see. But he will tell you, Mara par Bhagwan na char haath se. In Gujarati, in Urdu, we say, Sari ungliya ghee mein hain. Means the man is very... And if one ungli is out of ghee, then he starts weeping and crying, Ya Allah, you are not very kind to me. You are not very kind to me. You are not very, very good to me. No. When I am closer to him, I remember when I was in jail in Baghdad for 4 months and 4 days. There was one gentleman who was far more mu'min than I was. Far more. I used to respect him so much. And he believed Ahlul Bayt much more than I did. In a sense, that every day during his incarceration, he was with me for 1 month, I had to stay after him for 3 months. Every day he would stand up and say, Assalamu alaikum ya Bab, and read the whole ziyarat, Jami'a Kabira together, from heart, which is not a small thing, by heart. And then sit down and read, Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su' 99 times, and weep, invariably weep. And I used to pray for him, Ya Allah, release him, poor fellow. He has asked you so much, but he does the way he knows. 15 days passed. On the 16th day he came and told me, look, Asghar, he knew me only by first name. Everything is just nonsense. Imam Hussein, nonsense. Abul Fadl Abbas, also nonsense. I said, what happened to you today? He said, it is in the hadith that one Zawar, when he goes to Karbala, he is always protected by Imam Hussein, looked after by Imam Hussein, and Abu Fadl Abbas looks after him. Where is he? Now I am here in the jail. For no sin committed, for no offense committed, I am in Baghdad here. I am a foreigner. Now look, where is Imam Hussein? Where is Abu Fadl Abbas? All these things are fabricated. Half 15 days passed. I could see that he was off balance totally. And if I had tried to persuade him then, he might even slap me because he was actually angry. I let him go after 3 hours in the same room where 70 or 60 could be accommodated, we were 300. I called him aside and I said, come near, I want to tell you one thing. How often have you come here? He said, 16 times. It was 16th ziyarat. I said, has Sayyid al-Shuhada a right to test whether you really love him or not? For you came here for 16 years, no problem. On this year now, he is testing you with only slight problem. Slight change of plan, incarceration. Are you still there to love him, a man who gave away his life together with his dear ones in Karbala for the sake of truth? Today you say, Bi abi anta wa ummi, my father and my mother be your ransom. Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum, I wish I were with you in Karbala. Fa afuza ma'akum, I would have succeeded with you. Now he's asking you here in Baghdad jail. And that gave him a shock. That gave him a jolt. And he said, I never thought in this way. I never thought. Yes, he must be testing me. Inni a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Wa astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayh. And he wept. A test. A small test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. Sometimes. And the more he loves me, the severe test he gives. And you have to say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In all these, there is nothing but thanking him, for he knows better and he knows best. Sometimes, that which I think is bad happens to be good. We mullahs know better. Because business people come and say, mullah sahab, ek istikhara kar do. Mafat, I mean, this is free service. Otherwise I could have made really good money. For every good istikhara, £1. For one bad, refund £1. You see, you could have made money. It was a very good institution of money making, you see, istikhara. It keeps all the maulvis so busy. I say it is bad. It is bad. Now he wants to do that job. It is bad, I said, mana. Acha, do it again. Now this time he is adding 25p. He wants to sell, but, audit that, whatever. And we do about 26, 27 istikhara, not more. 26, 27 istikhara at one sitting. And then one day he comes and tells me, Mullah Sahib, your istikharas don't seem to be good, eh? You change your Quran. And that means the book must have gone old, the pages are now. You change your Quran. I said, I can't change the Quran because the Prophet did not change it. It's the same Quran. Then how come that I did istikhara for a particular business, you said bad, and the other fellow did it and he earned out of it? So you prevented me from earning. I said, but how do I know your niyat? I did not know your niyat. What is your niyat? Now his niyat was haram. To sell something forward. Crop selling forward is haram. If the crop has not set on the tree, you can't sell it. Forward sale, this is called. Najayiz. How can Quran says do it? Or, alternatively, he comes after 1 year and says, Mullah Sahib, remember that I had to say that this is bad? I said, Wallah, God saved me, otherwise I would have gone into problems. He realizes after 1 year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when he says that you refrain from this. So sometimes there is a musibah, but that musibah is for own good. It is Allah's test for us, and it comes to change. No misfortune leaves us where we were. No misfortune leaves you where you are. Either it takes you higher or it takes you lower. But you can't be there. It takes you higher if you understand. It takes you lower if you don't understand. Well, it is my duty and it is our love for each other that I must add one thing and finish. And that is, Janabi Yunus, he's the only prophet who had all people bring iman on him. The only prophet. Other all prophets have suffered. But Yunus is the only prophet who had all community agree with him and have faith in him. But not immediately. There must be a test. When Yunus came first, they opposed him. Now Yunus was slightly, you can say, hot-headed person. He immediately got disturbed. He tried again and again. People didn't understand. He said, Ya Allah, these people are incorrigible. Better send your adab. The adab was to come on a particular night and Yunus left the village, the whole town, he and his family. When the clouds were seen of adab, the people started weeping and crying with istighfar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu. So much so that they arranged for children to remain aloof from their mothers. The children cried not because of adab, but because of being aloof from the mother. But innocent children started crying. And the mothers cried, and the parents cried, and the elderly cried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have forgiven them. Adab was withdrawn. Yunus, when he came back, he expected to see ruins, but he saw people working normal way. So there he did not enter, Risaiya, as I said, Gujarati. Risaiya. Quran says, وَظَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. And this Yunus, Zannun means the one who went into the mouth of fish. Noon is fish. وَظَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا. When he went away displeased, فَظَنَّ, and he thought, أَلَّا نَقْبِرْ عَلَيْهِ, that we have no control over him, no power over him. He saw a ship and he embarked on the ship to leave forever. Nainawa. If you go to Nainawa today, you will see that part of Dajjalah. And as the ship went farther and farther, there was a storm. And with the storm, there was a very huge fish following. So the captain said that there seems that there is a servant here, a slave, who has run away from his master. And Quran says the same thing. Is abaka ilal fulkil mashhoon. Ibaka means running of the slave away from the master. Is abaka. He ran away. So they said, who has run away from his master? Nobody was prepared to say anything. Yunus was in temper. So they say, we will row. Lot. And then Lot came in the name of Fasahama. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَوِينَ They took lots and the name came in the name of So they told him, Abba, in the open stormy sea, Yunus was asked to alight. And as he jumped, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ The fish opened, but it was whale or bigger than whale. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ opened his mouth. In. وَهُوَ مُلِيم He entered inside weeping and crying. And as he entered there, قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ يَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ Oh Allah, there is no one but you. You are devoid of all blemish. Glorious you are. I am the one who has done Allah says, وَلَوْلَا أَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ If at that time he had not done this tasbih, he would have remained in the stomach of this fish up to Qiyamah. This tasbih, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتُ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ is not difficult to memorize. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتُ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ is a tasbih which we have been taught to read in sajda as many times as we can when we are in times of problems and also to read all the way. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتُ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ It is what I cannot describe. It is something which is tantamount to a miracle. I say this because we all have problems and nobody knows what problems one has. Say La ilaha illa. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And Mirza Jawad Malaki Tabrizi, one of the greatest ulama of our time in Irfan, he says, this is one of the ways to this dhikr, to enter nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is it. La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And Allah immediately answers. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ فَاسْتَغِفْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ We immediately accepted his prayers and we saved him. And this is how we save all the Write it down in your diary. La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka inni kunt. Memorize it. These are the dhikrs which you will not get anywhere else but from Quran and Ahlul Bayt. May Allah grant us tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum.